lockdown mode as we wrap crunch time, well, with this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
It gets blown up.
Take it all down. The Richter scale is how we wrap up every Monday in crunch time with the biggest and best stories from the weekend. Steve and Alex, when Alex is here, rate their performance. I am Nick. I bring up that news. And we start with the Golden State Warriors, who destroyed the Houston Rockets 126-85. Stephen Curry went for 35, finally started hitting his threes. Draymond Green had 17 rebounds. 15 of them were defensive boards. And then, you know, that other guy, Kevin Durant, had 25 points and 6 assists. The Rockets did not look ready to play in Roracle with 19 turnovers. And after three games, it is 2-1 Warriors. How dominant of a performance was that by the Warriors Sunday?
Yeah, that was kind of their way of saying, what are you all talking about? This, we lost game two on the road after winning home court edge by handling them in game one about what we can do, what they've solved. It's like, that was just, their answer was simply, no, that was really dominant. That was a 9.5.
In the East, the Cavs took Game 3 from the Celtics in another blowout. The 3 days of rest seemed to help out the Cleveland LeBron Jameses. That or the fact that the Celtics only have one win on the road in the playoffs. LeBron finally got some help as Kevin Love had a 13-point, 14-rebound double-double, and every starting Cavs player got into double figures for scoring. How important of a win was that for Cleveland?
That was big. That changed the complexion of the series. And if they could get it done tonight, I think all of a sudden they, in my mind, would be the favorite to get out of this thing and take two of the last three, especially if they take it to them tonight. So, yeah, that's a 9. Big, large, huge.
The Vegas Knights are going to the Stanley Cup. Marc-André Fleury has been on a hot streak since his lockdown performance of the Kings in the first round, and the Knights are not slowing down. They have already made history by having the best regular season for a team, for an expansion team, in their inaugural season, and now they're looking to go 1-for-1 for Stanley Cups, too. And you can just put everything on lock. It's basically the Knights' Stanley Cup to lose. Marc-André Fleury touched the Clarence S. Campbell Bowl, as he did with the Prince of Wales Trophy the last three times he's won the Stanley Cup, so it's over. Knights in probably 5 again, I would say. How insane is this run by Vegas?
Unprecedented. When you look at a guy like Marchessault, 8 goals and just balanced scoring top to bottom, good defense. And while MAF has had probably 2 or 3 games where he looked a little shaky, man, when it's mattered, he just kept the door shut. This is unprecedented. This is historical. This is a 10.
The Red Sox are on fire. Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez now have a MLB-leading combined 25 home runs. And after giving up Fortnite, David Price threw a complete game, striking out 8. But the bigger news, or maybe the more interesting news out of baseball this weekend, is the Tampa Bay Rays trying out a new strategy using Sergio Romo, a middle-to-late reliever, as a starter. He started back-to-back games against the Angels during the weekend. He went an inning and a third before turning it over to, as George Horton likes to put it, Johnny Allstaff, and the Rays went 1-1 in those two games. So how big of an impact will this using reliever as a starter change baseball?
You know, they keep talking about getting the first couple of outs and facing the 1, 2, and 3 hitter. And I guess if they're going to let him go into the second inning, maybe facing the entirety of the middle of the order. But that doesn't change anything. Your starters still only go 5 or 6 innings. So you still need somebody to get from a lead in the late 7th, 8th inning to the handshake in the 9th. I think it's a novelty at this point, and I don't think it's what we would refer to as a thing quite yet. So I'm going to give it a 4.
Might have been more interesting if it wasn't the Rays.
Yeah, it might have been noticed by more people aside from baseball nuts.
So you put this out on Twitter as well. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 big, 1 non-existent, are Brady, Julio Jones, Aaron, Aaron Donald, players like that, missing out on OTAs, is it meaningless or is it a big deal?
I would make a note with Donald because it could lead to a holdout. But Jones and Brady are under contract. They're seasoned vets. They're the elite at their position. For those two, it means absolutely nothing. For Donald, it probably means a 3, so I'll split the difference and call it a 1. And that's a wrap.